with people like that, when you've been together so long, they just seem like they have to be part of your life. That's just the way your life is. And you can't imagine them not being here, not being in the church, not working alongside of you. One of the really rare privileges I have, too, is that in terms of other pastors that I know, I've been working together with other Vineyard pastors in our city, most of them for at least 20 years. And as I get to meet people around the country and other pastors, that's not typical. Very few people get to work together with the same people for 20, 25, and more years. And it's just an amazing privilege. And I can't imagine those folks not being in our city, not being able to talk with them, do things with them, just kind of share our life together. And I think that's what was happening with the apostles when Jesus told them, I'm leaving. In John chapter 13, near the end of the chapter, he told them, I'm getting ready to leave, and for now, you can't come where I'm going. And I think they were shocked, and I think they were scared, and I think they were wondering, well, what are we going to do? I mean, our whole life revolves around him. We have spent the last 3 years going everywhere together, doing everything together. We cannot imagine what are we supposed to do, you know? What's going to happen to us? How do we go on if you're leaving and you're not going to be a part of our lives and a part of what we're doing? And as you might expect, in a sense, the first thing he said to them was, don't be afraid. And essentially said to them, don't fear the future. In John chapter 14, which is basically the dialogue that follows right after they came to realize that Jesus is not going to be here like really soon, he said this to them starting in verse 1. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And that could also be translated and it could go either way. You trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you'll also be where I am. And he throws it at the end, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. And now let me just kind of reiterate a couple of those things just to kind of lock those in our heads here. Don't worry because you can trust me. And he kind of is telling them, trust me. Look, you know my Father. You trust my Father. Trust me. Would I steer you wrong? Would I do anything that wouldn't be good for you? Would I not tell you the truth? Would I hide things from you? Trust me. I am preparing a place for you. And you know me. I'm straight with you guys. When you need to be encouraged, I do. When you need to be rebuked, I do. If I were not going in order to make a place ready for you, I would let you know. But here's the thing. I am going to come back. Once everything's ready, I'm going to come back and get you. And I'm going to bring you to where I am. This weekend, we just did a workshop on journeying toward a multicultural church. And so it was just on my mind as I was even reading this first service and thought, you know, it's kind of like how immigration works, the main part of it in our country. One of the big pieces of this is if you live here, if you're a citizen here now, you have one of the best chances of being able to get your family and bring them here as well. And so you meet a lot of people who they come to the U.S., one of the family members comes, they work towards citizenship, they find work, they get a house, they get it ready, and then they go and get their other family and they bring them to be with them. And Jesus says, God, that's what I'm doing. I'm not leaving. I'm the advance team. I'm going ahead of the rest of you and I'm getting a place ready. And as soon as it's ready, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and I'm going to bring you with me so we can all be together. And anyway, you know how to get to where I'm going. If you remember over the last several weeks during the Lenten season, I've been tossing in some questions. In fact, they're part of your insert in the bulletin so that you can reflect on these passages during the week. And the first question I had there is, how are you feeling about your future? How are you feeling about your future? Jesus' disciples were worried. They were afraid. They needed to hear things, know things that would give them some confidence about their future. How are you feeling about yours? You know, then it's kind of interesting what happens. Jesus basically says, come on, what are you guys worried about? You know how to get to where I'm going. And one of his apostles, Thomas, says, sorry, no, we don't. In fact, we don't know where you're going, so how are we supposed to know how to get there? And he says that in verse 15, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? You know, any of you use a GPS to try to help you get where you're going, it really helps if you know what your destination is. So you can put it in and then it gives you directions. And Thomas is saying, Lord, we really don't have a clue where you are going. So how in the world do you expect us to be able to follow you there? And Jesus answers them with a statement that is really familiar to a lot of you. And he says in verse 6, well, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, I kind of wondered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I have tended to think of those as kind of three separate things, but as I was looking at this and also looking at the commentaries that I've been using, they raised the question of grammatically several ways that this could be understood, and I really think that's probably what's true here is he's saying, I am the way, and then he's explaining kind of the nature of that way. I'm the truth and the life. And it's knowing the truth and participating in the life, that is how you get to the Father. I am that, therefore I am the way to the Father. You know, in reality, it's more about a person than it is about a path. And I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't lead us on a path in life, that he doesn't lead us into a way of life. But what he is saying is, it's really the person that you're with that's going to be most important on where you're going and how to get there. One of the things that I know about myself is I am not the person that you want to be with if you need to get somewhere, especially if it's new. When I was a kid, we used to go downtown Philadelphia for our Saturday fun. And we would hang around. This is when I was about 10, 11, 12 years old. And we'd go in the big department stores. And you'd go in on Market Street. And you'd go and roam around and, you know, goof off with everything. Get down, go out a door. And most of the time, I ended up out a door on another street. And I was totally lost. Just that little difference. And I'd have to ask somebody, what street am I on? Do I go left or right, you know, to get back to Market Street? I am not the person you want to be with. But I thought, I know somebody I would rather be with. I don't care if I know the way, as long as I'm with this person. That's Carlos Quintanilla. Carlos has been everywhere. Carlos knows people everywhere. Carlos has traveled there by every means available on the planet. Carlos speaks two languages fluently, and he can pull out words from other languages, even Italian. He's the guy I want to be with. I would rather have Carlos than have a map or a GPS. Because I feel more confident that I'm going to get where I need to be if I'm with him. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, I was in San Antonio for a Vineyard leaders gathering, and a couple of the guys were kind of grilling me with questions about what are we doing to be more of a multicultural church. And one of the guys asked me a question like this. He said, what has been the most helpful thing to you in growing towards a multicultural church? And I said, Carlos Quintanilla. He's like been my guide. He's been my cultural guide. He's been my relational guide. And I said, everybody needs a Carlos. Where are you, Carlos? There he is, sitting over here. Thank you, Carlos. Oh, thank you. See, he even gives me water. Thank you, Carlos. Everybody needs Jesus. He said, I am the path. It's not so important the road as the person. And if you're with the right person, you will end up on the right road. One of the questions that I threw in this week is, who are you, you know, moving even beyond Jesus in your life, who are you close to that you trust where their life is going? You know, that's the kind of people we need to know and be with, people who we can trust. We know where they're going. And if you are with them and if you get your life into their life, you're going to end up going a good way. But it's not only the path, but it also has to do with the place. Because Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm the way. You know, I'm the person that's going to get you there. But when we think about the place, I think Jesus also is saying to us, it's more about the person than the place. It's even true there. Because his answer to them in terms of their quandary about, well, where are you going? He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know, people are always trying to figure out heaven. Where is it exactly? What's it like? What's it made of? What's it look like? Are those descriptions literal, you know, about the streets made of gold and, you know, pearly gates and all that stuff? And you know what I would say? It really doesn't matter. It's not the place. It's really who we're going to be with. And so Jesus doesn't say, I am the way to heaven. He says, I'm the way to the Father. You want to get to the Father? Actually, I could say, you want to get to the Father. That's really where you want to end up. The place will take care of itself. And I can get you to the Father. It's really about the person. I remember it was about 3 months ago, I had to fly to Chicago. A few vineyard leaders were being asked to come together to kind of talk about the vineyard and immigration and, you know, how do we work with people that may be undocumented and just stuff like that. Well, Bert Wagner was also there, and Bert's the national director of the vineyard and travels a lot, and we ended up on the same plane. So on the way back, we thought, hey, let's see if we can get bumped to first class. So I happened to have a silver elite status at that time, which I actually don't have anymore. So Bert made his way to somebody. I made my way to ask, hey, can I get bumped up to first place? And what she said was, you have a lot better chance moving up with him than you do with your silver elite status. But it really does depend on who you know. It's really about who you're with. And I wrote this statement down, and the more I've thought about it, I really think it's true and something that would be worth reflecting on. Who you are with determines where you will be. Now, I thought of it like this too. If you are with the smartest person in the universe, the kindest, purest, most creative, most generous, best connected, most powerful, wealthiest person in the world, you don't need to worry about the accommodations. They're gonna be nice. It really is a matter of who you're with. And that is God. God is all those things. Come on, if you're going to be with the Father, you don't need to sweat the place. I mean, some of you probably know people that make, you know, great money. And if you've ever had the opportunity to go somewhere with them on their dime, you don't worry about the hotel you're staying in. It's going to be nice. Because they don't stay in Motel 6. And Jesus says, you know, you don't need, really, here's what you need to know about the place. The Father lives there. The Father is going to be there. You are going to be with him. I'm not worried about the place. I don't need to know what it looks like, what it's going to be made of. If I'm going to be where the Father is, I think that will take care of itself. And I bet I will be quite happy with the accommodations. But it really is who you're with and who you're going to be with. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know, when you're thinking about your future, when you're concerned about your future, it's really a question of who are you with. If you're with Jesus, you're going to get there. And when you get there, you're going to be with the Father, and that's really all that's going to matter to you. The rest will take care of itself. So one of the questions I thought of, too, for us to ask, how would you rate your current relationship with Jesus? If it really is, you know, who you're with determines where you'll be, well, then it might be good to have a sense of what is the quality of your relationship with Jesus. What's the nature of that relationship? Because that's going to determine a lot about your life and what's going on in it and where you're going to find yourself in life. Well, and in the meantime, and the disciples don't actually come out and ask that question, but I think Jesus knew that that would be an important question, and so he just goes ahead and sort of answers it for them. Okay, I feel a lot better about my future because I'm with the one that knows how to get where I want to be, and that is Jesus. And I am going to be with the persons I want to be with more than anyone else, and that's Jesus and the Father. And so I feel a lot better about my future, but how about in the meantime? How about while we're still here? What do we do? What do we do with Jesus being gone? And so he says this in verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Now, I'll be honest with you because I've thought about this. People have different opinions about this too. Personally, I can't imagine me doing greater things than Jesus. He raised people from the dead. He like regenerated limbs. He enabled people to know the Father and to be secure in God so that they would have eternal life. I say, all right, if I can just do the things that Jesus was doing, I'd be a very happy camper. And maybe it's that every one of us now who knows him can do the things that Jesus was doing, and that in itself is awesome because it's not limited by where Jesus happens to be. It actually can happen wherever we are. Everyone who believes in him and knows him can do the things. But the thing I want to just say to you is fundamentally what he's saying is, what do you do in the meantime? While we're waiting for Jesus to come back and, you know, have the place prepared, come back and get us and take us where he is. What we do what Jesus has been doing. We do his work. We help people know God. We love people. We bring healing to people. We set people free from oppression and bondage and demonic forces. And we raise the dead. And anything that Jesus was doing, he says, okay, you won't be bored. You just do what I did while you were with me and just keep doing it. And while you're doing it, I will supply you with what you need in order to do the things that I was doing. And so he goes on and he says this. In verses 13 and 14, he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So I'd say the first thing he says, I'm giving you prayer. And that is a lifeline to me to be able to do the things that I've called you to do. Now, I know this about doing something in another person's name. And in Jesus' day, that was a common understanding. You might be sent by a ruler or a powerful person to go be their representative, and you were given the authority to act on their behalf using their name. But it was understood, you weren't just going to, woohoo, I got Bob's name. You know, it's like, I got your credit card. Let's see what fun I can have. No, I'm going in your name. I'm representing you. Therefore, I understand that I am representing your wishes, your desires, your purposes, and you have authorized me to do your work, to do your bidding, to represent you in the places where you have sent me. So I'm not praying for a Harley fat boy. That's a type of Harley. Just in case, I should have said a different one. I just don't see that that's necessary for what God has sent me to do in my life. I'm just going to have to pay for that if I want it. But I was struck, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. And when I was preparing this, I thought, okay. I want Mike Henderson. That's what I want. I want his life for us, with us. I want Mike free from cancer. That's what I want. If you're going to tell me to do this, then I'm going to do it. And I know I'm not in control of how he responds, when he responds, what he does. But he told me to do his work, and he said, you ask me, you know, whatever you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. And so I'm gonna ask for what I think God really wants and what I really want. And I think that's a great place to start. And you know, we don't have control over it. Jamie just lost his dad, and Alex passed away a week ago. But by God, I'm going to ask. Because this is part of the provision that he's given us. And this is what he's told us to do. So let's do it. Let's get down to business. Let's go for the hard stuff. Let's go for what's really important to us and to God. And then we trust him with what he does with that. The second thing he says is, I'm going to give you my presence. S-E-N-C-E. In verse 16 and 18, he says, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him because it cannot see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left all alone. Man, they needed that desperately. Everything for them was about Jesus and being with him. And he is about to leave us alone, to leave us here. And so his assurance to us is, I won't leave you alone. I think one translation says, I will not leave you as orphans. In fact, I am going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you another helper. That helper is the Spirit of God, and he will be with you forever. You know, and we come to understand, we realize that the one God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And in essence, he says to us, you know, through his teaching here, he says, look, if you know me, you know the Father. And we're going to send you the Spirit, and you're going to know the Spirit. In fact, you know the Spirit. And he's in you. He's going to remain with you. You are not alone. I am not leaving you here without me. I am sending my Spirit so that I will be with you. And then the third thing, I went to the end of the chapter, nearer to the end of the chapter, and he said, I'm going to give you peace. In verse 27, he said, peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. Which, that's kind of astounding. I mean, how many of us believe that God is full of anxiety? Just worried about the future and not running out of money before the end of the month. And, you know, I don't think so. And Jesus says, I will give you my peace. And he goes on, he says, I don't give it as the world does. You know, it's not something that is easily lost and taken away just by changing circumstances. So don't be worried and upset. Don't be afraid. You can ask me for what you need, and I will act. I will be present with you by my Spirit, and I'm going to give you my peace so that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be scared. You know, we all know life is scary. Life is scary. Even when you have a really good life, even when you would assess your life and say, wow, I've been very fortunate. Life has been pretty easy for me. It is still scary. There are still threats. There are still dangers. And Jesus says, I know that. And so I am going to give you my peace to keep your heart calm and help you not to be afraid. So I have one other question for us. It's really related to these three things that God is providing. What could you use most in this season of your life? And I'm not saying he can't give you all of them, but just to reflect on, what could you use most in this season of your life? Answers to prayer? Experience of his presence? Or peace? And you know, I know those things aren't all totally separate. And some of you, as you're listening, you're saying, I need all of those. I need every one of those right now. I say, go for it. You know. But it helps us to have a sense of, where are you right now in your life? What's happening? What's happening? What do you need from God that he's offered? And you ought to ask for it. You ought to ask for it. I'm going to ask, speaking of asking, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come on up to the front, and I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand up.